so close, I believe you're holding me now in your hands. I belong. Never let me go. So close, I believe you're holding me now in your hands. I belong. You'll never let me go. So close. So close,
hallelujah.
You never let me go.
So close.
You never let me go.
We honor and worship you. We thank you for honoring our gathering with your presence. We're grateful. And truly, you're so close. You're holding us individually, collectively, and we know you will never let us go. See, no man can take us out of your hands. We worship you. Thank you for your love. Not only for love, but making it real to us individually and collectively. We enter your word with humility, the same presence that has been with us in worship. We ask that go with us into the word, for if you do not go with us, we will not leave this place. We ask, we beseech you humbly for this presence to follow us as we enter your word. Lord, you will anoint me afresh, that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer, in their own individual lives, agreed with me individually and said, amen. Today I have a very important message. It's actually a spin-off from what my wife shared on, and I, both of us shared on Wednesday and I think last week. And I've entitled it, Believing and Praying with Your Thoughts. This is probably one of the most important messages you're going to hear as it concerns faith and believing God. This is the area where most Christians fail. I've come to see, by the mercy and the grace of God, by revelation knowledge, what believing really is. One of the characteristics of revelation knowledge, epignosis, that it gives you exact knowledge. Doesn't mean you know everything, certainly, but the ones that he has shown you, said in Deuteronomy 29, he said, the things that are revealed unto us belong unto us and to our children. The secret things belong to God. So we don't know everything. But there are certain things God has revealed to us. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things God has prepared, you know, for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So there is a place in God where you can have exact knowledge. Revelation knowledge, I'm going to come to this in a minute, but I just flow with the Spirit, is knowledge that God shines into your mind by the Holy Spirit through the Word. I think it was Brother Adeshola who shared this many years ago. I think it was 2008, and I wrote it in one of our weekly rhemas. In the natural, we have what is called a laser beam. A laser beam is used today. Even people in the construction industry, they will tell you, you know, people like Brother Deji, Brother Adeshola, Brother Okori, you know, the days of using ruler and tape rule is over. They don't do that anymore. You have a laser beam. It's a small thing in your hand like this. So if I'm standing here now and I want to know the distance between here and here, I shine a piece of, you know, the laser on it, and I shine on that something, and the reading will tell me the exact distance. They don't use tape measure anymore. Praise the Lord. Now we still do a little bit, but you know, so you can get the exact, use a laser. In physics, a laser is light amplification. It's an acronym for light amplification by the simulated emission of radiation. LASER. But in the spirit, it is light that is amplified by the Holy Spirit through the emission of revelation. That's not original with me. It's Brother Adeshola who shared that in 2008. I wrote it down because it was so good, you know, because it's exact knowledge. So, believing. You know, when I say believe, what do I mean? What do we actually, what does it mean? Let me say it in a different way. How do I know when I'm believing, and how do I know when I'm not believing? It should be as clear as that. I should be able to say, I was believing then. Then I should be able to say, I was not believing then. What is believing? It's very simple, but it's profound. It is seeing and accepting the invisible. If you're not seeing the invisible, you're not believing. The accepting is also important, because not only do you see it, but you also accept it. Then God, you accept it, watch this. You believe it in your mind, and then you accept it with your will. This is exact knowledge I'm giving you. You believe it, you see it with your mind through the light of God's word that has been shined, that's been shone into your mind, so you see. And then not only do you see it, you also accept it. You receive it with an act of your will. When those two things are there, when you see and you accept, you see with the mind, you accept with the will, then you are believing. Disconnect them, you're not believing. If you don't see, you don't believe. Now, look at Hebrews. Well, I'm just going to flow with the Spirit. Hebrews 11:27 tells us that Moses endured as seeing him that is invisible. Now, that's a contradiction of terms. If it's invisible, you can't see it. So how can I see what I cannot see? The term invisible means you can't see it. Since it's invisible. Yet, the scripture tells us that Moses saw the invisible. How? By faith. In fact, that's what it says. It's Hebrews 11. It says by faith. You know, Moses saw. So how do I see the invisible? How do I see what I cannot see? Now, I'll use a natural illustration. The Bible says there's one of the scriptures we're also going to read later on, if the Lord allows me. you know, the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I've come to see over these years that you cannot understand spiritual things exactly if you do not have a natural counterpart. So when God wants to explain something to you, He will take, that's what we call a parable. He will take a natural thing you can see, then He will relate it to an invisible thing you cannot see. That's how you can see the invisible. That's why you need God's word. God's word is what brings faith, you know, and enables you. It describes, God's word describes invisible realities. And when it enters your heart, it causes light to, not natural light now, spiritual light enters your mind. And when it enters your mind will now see the invisible reality that the Word of God describes. And this is how to believe. That is why, and this is amazing, it's an amazing fact, but I mean, it's obvious. When I say it's amazing, I mean, the discovery of it to me as a person was really amazing. Just like you need natural light. See, the reason why I can see Pastor Laolu's face now is because there's light here. If it was in the night and there was no light in this room, I won't see him. It's not that he's not there. It's just that because there is no light. If there is no physical light, either from the sunlight or from the electrical light, if there is no light, you can't see. You can only see when there is light, you know, that's coming from the object that you're looking at, that goes into your eye, goes into your retina, and then your brain, you know, does a lot of electronics and then, you know, creates the image, then you can see it. Without a light, you can't see. So watch this. Everybody say, without physical light, you cannot see physical things. Without spiritual light, you cannot see spiritual things. If there is no spiritual light, or there is not sufficient spiritual light in your mind, you can't believe. That is why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because when the word of God comes, the entrance of His word brings light. It brings that spiritual light. It's that spiritual light that enlightens your mind so you can see the spiritual reality of the word of God. Then you can believe. You cannot believe without the word of God. And you can know if you believe or you don't believe. What are you seeing? God asked Jeremiah, what seest thou? So, believing is seeing and accepting. The accepting is very important. As an act of your will, invisible spiritual realities described by God's word. That's what it means to believe. Is seeing and accepting the reality of the invisible things of the Spirit in your mind. You see it in your mind, and then you accept it as an act of your will. Mommy mentioned this, you know, about Mary. How differently Mary and Zechariah. I was meditating on it, you know, after I went on, I was praying in the Spirit, you know, while I was praying, preparing the message, the Holy Spirit brought me back. He said, both of them saw the same thing. The same angel Gabriel. The same angel Gabriel that appeared to, and that's why God was really cross. He was really disappointed, if I can use that exact. No, he was really angry. He was angry, but he was very disappointed with Zechariah. Zechariah has been a priest for only God knows how many years. You know? And something happened in his priesthood that has never happened before. He's been going to the priesthood all these years, you know, goes to the tabernacle, you know, offering incense. That's what priests do. You know, they go and offer incense because you have to understand that the common people, the ordinary people, stayed in the outer court, even in the temple. They stayed in the outer court. Only the priest would go inside the Holy of Holies. In our Holy of Holies, there's nothing, there's no natural light. Everything is dark. But there is the light of the menorah. The menorah is the seven candlestick. Then you've got the table of showbread. You've got the bread on the table. And then you have the altar of incense. Immediately after the altar of incense is a big curtain that separates the holy place from the most holy place. So the ordinary priests offered up incense on the altar of incense daily. They did it in the morning and they did it in the evening. And they had orders. What I would say order is that, you know, because it's a 24/7, it's a 24 hour, is a daily thing. So there's no way one person can do it every day. They get tired. So David broke them up into categories. So some people minister for a month, then they will go back to his house, then another priest will come, you know, and that's what happened to Zechariah. It was his own time, usually a month, maybe 6 weeks, you know, sometime like that. So they would go there and they would enter into the holy place, then they would take incense, they would burn it upon the altar of incense, and then they would come out. But on this day, something happened. He got there, he took the incense like he normally does, and put altar, and suddenly he sees Gabriel. He sees an angel, 9-10 feet tall, I don't know. Of course he was afraid. You know, what's this? An angel, Gabriel calms him down. You know, Olubi 2019 translation, chill. I'm not here to hurt you. You know, if you see some of these big angels, it will make you afraid. Trust me. But they will tell you to calm down. You know. So he says, I'm Gabriel, you know, and then he just tells him the good news of, you know, you're going to have a child and he's going to be great, blah, blah, blah. You know, and tells him all the next thing. Of course, the last thing God would have expected is for someone like of Zechariah's stature, a priest of his stature and maturity over these years, not to believe. How many times has he gone into that place and he's seen an angel? Even seeing Gabriel alone should have settled the matter. He said, how shall I know this? Seeing I'm an old man, stricken in years, and my wife is also old. God got angry. God, I like the modern word, he was put off. You know, maybe not anger, but you know, he was, oh, come on. You know what Gabriel said? He said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I have been commanded to come and give you these good tidings. I mean, the guy should have gone out of the place shouting, excited. He said, behold, you won't talk. You will not be able to talk when you go out of here until the time all these things are fulfilled, because you did not believe. I got news for you. He saw the invisible, but he didn't accept it. He saw it. Gabriel was invisible, but God gave him discerning of spirits. He saw the invisible, but he did not accept it as an act of his will. Fast forward 6 months later. Gabriel flies swiftly to Nazareth and sees the virgin girl, young girl, maybe 18, something like that, and says to her, Hail Mary, and all the other stuff our Catholic brethren say. We say it too, praise the Lord, differently, but we say the same thing. You know, you're highly favored and everything. Notice Mary's question. She didn't say, how shall I know this? It's accepted. She accepted it. How will it be? Not how shall I know. How will it be seeing? I knew not a man. In other words, I'm a virgin. So how is it? She didn't doubt God was going to do it. She didn't say, how will I know it? Zechariah said, how shall I know? Mary said, I've accepted it, but how shall it be? Big difference. And of course, God was not angry with Mary. In fact, he was impressed with her. And he said to her, he said, this is how it's going to be. Watch this. And mommy talked about this that day. She said, the power of the Most High shall come upon you. You know, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. And what did Mary say? Be it, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What's the power of the Most High? What's the Holy Ghost? Can you see them? They're invisible. But Mary saw the invisible and accepted it. That's believing. You see the invisible through the word of God, through the light of God's word that shines into your mind, and then your will accepts it. Your will is very important. If your will doesn't accept it, it's not believing. And that's the difference between Zechariah and Mary. Mary believed, Zechariah didn't. And God had to shut his mouth so he wouldn't mess the whole system up. Because he would have just gone around spewing unbelief, and his body would not have been able to get the strength to conceive the seed to get John the Baptist born. The body would not have responded if the man was saying the wrong thing. When Gabriel spoke the word, the power was already released into Zechariah's body. If Zechariah started saying the wrong thing, he would have messed it up. Sometimes God needs to shut our mouths so God can bring the miracle he wants in your life. All right. So, believing, I didn't hear you. I said, believing is seeing and accepting invisible spiritual realities in your mind and as an act of your will. It is done, or it's accomplished by the spiritual light in your mind. That is why the Bible says, the entrance of his word giveth light. And I begin to understand a lot of things. You know, there are things we do, we just obey and do them, but we don't sometimes understand the implication. You know, the reason why you need to read your Bible every day. Every day you read your Bible, you're filling your mind with light. That's why you find that people who don't read the word much, who don't have sufficient word of God in there, they can't see spiritual things. So they find believing very difficult. But it's not only reading the Bible. Even reading the Bible is very, very important. For the entrance of his word giveth light. So you read the Bible daily as you and meditate. That's why these spiritual exercises are very important. You know? Then secondly, you know, you pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul prayed that prayer for the Ephesian church. Might I add, and this is so significant, it hits you like a brick ball, like a brick bat, when you realize the background. They were already born again and spirit-filled. See, if having the spirit of wisdom and revelation is automatic, then there would have been no need for Paul to pray that prayer. You know, we think, oh, well, I'm born again, I speak in tongues. That doesn't make you believe. You need to pray, and that's why God gave me that little twist on it, you know, but it's very good, you know, by the grace and the mercy of God, says, you know, fresh and increasing. So it's not a one-time thing. Revelation is progressive and continuous. So you need to, as a daily habit, in addition to reading your Bible, which is very important. The Bible is like the raw material. You see, if I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and I don't read my Bible, the Holy Spirit has nothing to use to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that's why I need the word inside me. But if I have the letter of the word inside me, but I don't have the light of the Holy Spirit, it does not turn to revelation. It just remains mental knowledge. I didn't know if you got what I said. See, the letter killeth, but it's a spirit that gives life. So that's why you have theologians who know more Bible than you, but no revelation. You can have the knowledge of the Bible, the mental knowledge of the Bible. You know, when I was a kid, you know, in my teenage years, and I was in secondary school, I did Bible knowledge in school certificate. I had an A3, but I didn't know God from Adam. I could quote scripture. This Zechariah, I could quote it off air because Luke was one of the things we did in that. You know, I could quote it. I could quote everything. I had it in my mind, but there was no light. The spiritual light that acts upon the word, you know, that amplifies the word through the emission of revelation that comes into your mind. Then you see it. Is it clear? So it's not enough just to read the Bible. Just, you know, have the mental knowledge. You know, we call it head knowledge. A lot of Christians, that's what they have. They don't believe. They can say the Bible like a parrot, but they don't believe. And they don't believe because there's no light. And there's no light because there's no revelation. There's no spirit of wisdom. So look at that great prayer. I pray God, you know, that give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Amplified Bible says being flooded with light. There's a third thing. You know, I'm giving you exact knowledge by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, God says, God, why is it so difficult for Christians to believe? They don't believe. And before we finish, you see, you know, how God is going to help us. By the time you leave, you're going to be a great person of faith. Many things you've been believing God will start coming into pass. Because you will know how to believe properly. Exact knowledge of believing. Believing and praying with your thoughts. By the time I'm done, by the help of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most important messages you're going to hear on faith that I'm sharing with you this morning. Now, what happens after there's the word, the angels of his word give us life, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and then there's another very important factor. Honey, this factor is so important, and many times we gloss over it. Although in this church, we've been talking about it, and it's honesty of heart. Do you know that that's why I said your will has to accept it like a latch. See, when there is dishonesty of heart, your will is like a trap door. Even when light is coming, if you close the door, the light can't go through. Nah, that's why. Romans chapter 1, this is a great scripture, and Paul is describing the sinful state of humanity. He said, for men hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, verse 18. Romans chapter 1. I think it's verse 18, you know, somewhere in there. You know, I can quote it from my head. You know, and where he says, you know, that for that which may be known of God is known unto them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him are clear. I like that word, Pastor Laulu. Clearly. Are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. This is going to send many people to hell. This statement. It will be read on Judgment Day. The books will be opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And when people start arguing, God will, they will open and they will read Romans 1. So that they are without excuse. I'm sure you've heard my testimony, and I'm not going to go into all the detail. I got born again on this scripture. This is one of the scriptures. I got born again during my youth corps in 1979. You know, this was about this time, 1979. It was about April, just before my birth, around my birthday, you know. And I was, you know, God just led me supernaturally, you know, without going into all the story, you know, to start reading the Bible. I can never forget, when I read this scripture, I trembled. I said, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. I said, they are without, I knew I was without excuse. You know why? The Bible says he showed it to them. There is no human being God has not shown. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 1, he says that this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into world. No exceptions. Let me just give a few examples. We're going to move to honesty of heart in a minute. But let me just give a few examples.
you find yourself on this planet. You don't know how you became. You are born of your father and your mother. You start growing, 2, 5 years old, 6 years old. Questions start coming to your mind. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I had it when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. You're looking at everything. You see the sun. You look at the earth. You look at the things around you. These things can't just be. Somebody put it there. As you grow up with education and you get to know more things, that's why the educated people, their judgment is going to be worse. The doctors especially. Just look at nature and you know that there is a God. I've said this many, many times, but it bears repetition now. It so happens you breathe in oxygen and you breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants, I've never gone at first read for instances, even though I didn't know God at that time, it struck me. This can't be a coincidence. The plants around us, they take in carbon dioxide and they release oxygen. And you say it just happened? Onidegba. Now that's just one. There is the Krebs cycle, there is the Krebs cycle, there is the water cycle, there is the nitrogen cycle. When you look at nature and you see the exact correspondences and you see the obvious hand of an intelligent creator, only one thing now can stop you from believing: dishonesty. Dishonesty. And that's what is hindering, even after people become Christians, that honesty of heart is something you have to retain. People will see things in the Bible like this, and they will, because it does not fit in to what they like. Just like the unbeliever will not accept the truth of God's word because, he doesn't want to believe in a personal God. Like one mathematician, I don't respect them in that area. I respect them in the mathematics, but I don't respect that area. He said, I'm fine with the God of Euclid and the God of exactness and geometry, but I don't like the God that kills Pharaoh's armies in the Red Sea. You can't do anything about it. God isn't just the God that makes nice planets and everything. He's a person. And you have to deal with him as a person. They don't want to deal with him as a person. Because once you accept that he's a person, then he has a right to say something about your life. And you don't want that. So you say, it's evolution. See this thing. Even the evolution argument falls if you are honest. Okay, let's for sake of argument, let's even accept that there is evolution. And there is, to some degree. It's just programmed growth. And it's God who put the program there. But let's just say, there's this thing. So where did the original seed come from? Abego. Just think a little bit. Okay, there's evolution. With the original thing that the thing was evolving for, where did it come from? Number one. Then number two, who told it how to evolve? I say natural selection. Selection? Did you hear yourself? Selection? Selection? Do you know the implication of the word selection? Before I can select something, I must know that there's this part and there's this part. Who gives me the intelligence to be able to say this is what I select and this is not what I select? The argument destroys itself. Are you listening to me? You just told me you're terribly dishonest. And that's why people don't believe. Next verse, after that, verse 18. The visible things of him are clearly seen. We understood by things that are made. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Okay, I'll read the Bible. Hey, folks, you need to bring the Bible. You need to bring your Bibles to church. Because we can't depend on this thing all the time. Are you listening to me? So when it doesn't go, we go back to the original way. Praise the Lord. Okay. No. Verse 19. 19, 20, 21. Because that when they knew God. Wait, stop. It means they knew God. He's not talking about Christians here. He's talking about every man. When your conscience is enlightened, and you see, when they knew God, they knew that this thing could not just have happened, that God must have put all these things in place. Watch this. They glorified him, not as God, neither were thankful. You don't thank a principle. You don't thank evolution. You thank a person. They rejected the personality of God. Neither were thankful, but became what? Vain in their imaginations, and their what? Foolish heart was what? Darkened. The door closed. The light was there before, but the wheel shut the door so that the light could no longer shine. That only doesn't happen to unbelievers, it happens to Christians. You come to church, you hear a great message on faith. You believe. Then you go downstairs, and the guy from church XYZ on road 2Y2 comes to you and says, "Oh, don't mind that." I say, "Da, da, da." I say, "It's true." Then you shut your wheel. And so you just move from faith to unbelief. Your will is very important. And their foolish heart was dark. It was enlightened before, but it became darkened. It's a process. Because of the dishonesty, the wheel shot the light out. Is it clear? Another beautiful scripture. This honesty of heart is so lovely, you know. So there are three things we need for believing. We need the light of God's word, because we cannot see invisible things without spiritual light. Just like I cannot see natural things without natural light. Let me just, you know, the Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. I've said this before here in church, but again, you know, people hear things and then they forget and they don't. That's why we need to read the Bible every day. Because you have to keep the things in your mind, in remembrance. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. And over time, if you don't keep your mind enlightened spiritually, it will get dark. That's why you need to read your Bible daily. Apart from hearing messages like this, which is also a part of it, you know, you need to read your Bible daily. Now, if you look in Genesis chapter 1, you will find that there are two kinds of light. People don't think through on these things. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. Only God knows how many billions of years are in that first statement. It's billions. That's what science is. Science, the word of God is not subject to science. Science is subject to the word of God. Scientists don't make anything. They only discover what God has put there. Don't ever allow anybody to use oppositions of science, so falsely so-called, to undermine your faith. They are not true scientists. You're looking at a true scientist here, to the glory of God. And I'm not the only one. There are many like that. You know, if you're honest... one of the great scientists, I think he's Heisenberg. He's one of the great German physicists and mathematicians, you know, that created, that formulated quantum theory at the turn of the last century. I love his statement. He said, when you take the first gulp of the water or the cup of the natural sciences, it tends to make you want to be an atheist. Talking about evolution and all this. He said, but God is waiting for you at the bottom of the cup. It's a great statement. Because once you start getting to the quantum level, and you start seeing electron, wave electron particle duality, you start, you step back. You say, there's somebody behind this one. Oh, God is there. Are you listening to me? It's false science that says that there is no God. You see, and so what you need to understand is this: everything that there are two kinds of light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. And the earth, watch these words, they are loaded, became. Without form and void, something happened. Now, God doesn't tell you the detail there, what happened. He's just telling you what happened. He said, and it became without form. It wasn't like that originally. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he didn't stop them. We're still going to talk about that before I close this afternoon. It says, and the Spirit of God moved.
You need the Holy Ghost moving in your life. Most people say, word only, word only. No, no, no. You need word and Spirit. Are you listening to me? You know, in fact, the Spirit moves first. The Spirit of God begins to move over the face of the waters.
And God said, let there be light, or light be. And there was light. Stop. Go down. By the time you get to the fourth day, I think it's the fourth day, you now see, he says, and God made two great lights. One to rule the sun, to rule by day, and the moon by night. But I thought he had said light before. So the light of the sun is not the same as the light of Genesis verse 3. One is spiritual light, the other is physical light. This one is the physical light. This is the light that's coming from the sun, that's burning helium and hydrogen, that's releasing all the light that we're seeing. You know, the colors of the spectrum, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, indigo, the ultraviolet, the infrared, and all of that. That's all natural light. But there is a higher light. It's the light of God's word. That's the one that needs to come in your mind that gives you faith. This natural sunlight won't give you faith. A lot of us will be faith giants by now. Am I talking to anybody here? All right. And so, we see, thank you, Jesus. We see that there is natural light and there is spiritual light. Now, having that understanding, and there's so many other beautiful scriptures, you know, we need those three things. We need the light from God's word through, you know, reading the Bible, listening to messages like this, you know, meditating on the word of God. Then we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then we need an honest heart. Psalm 15, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall go to his holy? He said, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. The reason why people are not progressing spiritually and are not going up the mountain of truth is because they don't speak the truth in their heart. It is crucial for you to speak the truth in your heart. This is clear. Psalm 15, where is it? Not 24, 15. There's 15 too, but there's 24 too, but 15, yes. Now go down. You say, that's it. That's all I want. He that what? I didn't hear you. Open your ears. Uprightly and what? Worketh righteousness and does what? Speaketh the truth, not just with his lips, but also in his heart. That's why I've entitled this message, Believing and Praying with Your Thoughts. See, what most people think that once I make the confession and I say God's word, that's the end. No! What you think is so important between the time when you believe and the time you receive. And that's where Christians are failing. That's where the real fail, that's where the real problem is. Not, oh, I confess 25 times a day. You can confess a million times a day. If you think the wrong thing, you're not going to get the answer. I'm going to get there in a minute. So it's very important to speak the truth, not only with your mouth, but with your heart. That's why you have to maintain honesty of heart. Honesty of heart is not something that once you have it, it's there forever. If you don't do something about it, it will go down. For instance, this just come to me by the Spirit. Look at David. How many people know David was a man of God? God's own testimony. Who wrote this? David. Who wrote this? David. A man after God's own heart. The same David stays back when kings got to go in battle. He's walking on his compound on the platform, you know, of his house in the middle of the evening. He sees a young girl having a bath. Why is it that David's heart could not tell him, don't look at that? David! I'm not talking about some funny guy. I'm not talking about Nabal. I'm talking about David! He was in a position, at that point in time in his life, his heart had dropped. I want to show you that this thing is dynamic. That's why you have to maintain it. Honesty of heart is not something automatic. You've got to do something about it. David's heart had retrogressed. David saw a small girl, a young girl, old enough to be her granddaughter. She was probably maybe in her early 20s or something like that. At this time, David was about 50, 60 years old. He could have just taken his eyes away. But he didn't. He sent for her. He did what he did, you know. And then the girl sends and says, oh, she's pregnant, you know, and all of that. David tries to cover it up, sends for Uriah, gets him drunk, gives him all that time. David's heart didn't tell him, boy, God is against you. Something is wrong here. Uriah eats the food and comes back. Then he says, aren't you going to go to your house? Mika, I'm not going to my house. Joab and all the soldiers are all in the field, and I will now go to my house, I will eat, and I will sleep with my wife. God forbid, bad thing. I won't do that. That should have been a warning signal. That David's heart did not smite him tells you the terrible nature of the human heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why you need to do something about it daily. And I know there are many Davids here. Not in the negative sense that you're going to do what David did, God forbid. What I mean is that you love God. That's what I'm saying. There are many of you that are just like me too. You know, we all love God. We are all God, men and women after God's own heart. But if it could happen to David, it can happen to any of us. That's why it's written inside the scripture. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't assume it's okay. Don't assume it's honest. That's why you judge it daily. I have one of my prayers. One of the prayers I think people pray the least. I judge myself of sins of omission and commission. I receive mercy on eternal life to soften my heart, to enable me to repent. That's a prayer you should pray daily. I, your pastor, by the grace and the mercy of God, I pray it daily because I realize that I cannot trust my heart. He that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Don't trust it. Correct it with the word of God. Realign that antenna daily. Because it could have shifted overnight. Even in moments or seconds. Just a moment of anger. A moment of discouragement. A moment of your heart has shifted. And you don't realize that you're no longer believing. Because the will has shifted. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Are you listening to me? So these are the things you need to believe. You need an honest heart, which you have to diligently maintain. You need the word of God that's going to bring light. And then you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that your eyes of your understanding is flooded with light. That way there will always be light in the mind. Once there's light in the mind and the will is accepting, you're believing. Once any of them is like a binary gate in electrons. Once one of them goes, the thing's not. There's no signal on the outside. One and zero is zero. Zero and one is zero. The only thing that gives you correct is one and one. You got to have signal on both things. Take one, any of them out, you get zero on the outside. It's an AND gate. Am I talking to anybody here? You need honesty of heart and you need the word of God. Okay, let's move on very quickly. What I have left is not much. All right? Now, what do you see? What are you supposed to be seeing? Again, we go to David. And this is why what happened to David is frightening. That it could happen to somebody of David's stature. It was David who said, as one of the Psalms we love quoting now, Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, and he is at my right hand. You know what you should have? You know what you should be seeing every day? The Lord before you. All the time. That's why I went back and I checked the scriptures myself. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. You know, I know these things and I'm practicing them, but I am also reteaching myself. I have set the Lord occasionally. I have set the Lord weekly. I have set the Lord in the morning. I have set the Lord during the time of concentrated prayer. You see, you should be seeing the Lord in the office. See the Lord in the car. See the Lord in the bathroom. See the Lord in the toilet. See the Lord in the board meeting. Hello, somebody. That's where you really need him. Praise the Lord. You need him there. Amen. See the Lord always. You do it by faith. The Lord is invisible. So how can I set the Lord always before me? By faith. So what am I supposed to be seeing? I'm supposed to be seeing God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ at his right hand, and the Holy Ghost at my right hand. But I don't stop there. I'm also supposed to be seeing the blood of Jesus so that it can cleanse my heart. I'm also supposed to see the life of God and the power of God. Now, honey, this is where what my wife said was so significant. If you are seeing the Lord and you are seeing the blood clean your heart and you're seeing the life of God inside you and the power of God, can anything be impossible to you? Impossible. You see, if you are constantly seeing the omnipotent God, it is easy to believe the impossible. Amen. The reason why you can't believe the impossible is because you are not seeing the God who can do all things. Is it clear? God showed it. That's why I'll give you exact knowledge. It is the invisible God that I am seeing and his omnipotent power that makes me know I can believe for the impossible. Once I stop seeing God, the impossible becomes impossible. But if I start seeing God, the impossible becomes possible. Did you get it? Keep God in view 24/7. Even when you are sleeping, he says he instructs my reins in the night seasons. Even in my sleep, I'm seeing God. Of course, I'm unconscious and I'm asleep. But you see, just before I close my eyes, the last person I see is God. Because I always pray. My wife and I, we pray every night. Before my eyes close, the last person I see is God. My eyes are like that. I'm in the invisible. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I'm going to sleep now. Please wake me up at 3:45. See you later. I'm being honest. That's my prayer. I ask for love. Father, I confess my sins in Jesus' name. I have life. I pray in tongues, groan a little bit. I say, Lord, Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I'm going to sleep now. Please, Lord, you know today I'm going somewhere. I have to leave this place early. So 3:45 today. So, thank you, Lord. I sleep. And it never fails. It may be 3:40. You told me to wake you, remember? My wife and I, we've trained ourselves. We don't use alarm clock. She doesn't use alarm clock. I don't use alarm clock. We don't use alarm clock. Oh, the Lord is more reliable than an alarm clock. Lord just... this morning, that's what happened. You know, I said, God, 3:45. It was about
about 3:37, because I still remember I had my digital watch, you know. The eyes open. I said 3:45. Then I looked at my watch. He said, if you don't get up now. So I said, thanks, Lord. And that's it. my first 5 minutes or so of prayer is all in the thoughts. Before I start opening my mouth, I'm talking. Lord, thank Lord Jesus, thank Holy Spirit, thank you. Oh, I receive mercy. Please strengthen me now so I can get up and pray. Lord, you know I'm a little tired. You say, okay, I'll help you. And he's true to his word. I just get off the bed. By the time I stand up, strength has come. Strength has come. This is before I even open any book to start praying. I have set the Lord always before me. And he is at my... that should give you comfort. No matter what you are facing, you have somebody at your right hand. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, that's all you really need to concentrate on. You know, the three persons of the Godhead, the blood, the word, and the spirit. The blood, the life of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, there is nothing you cannot accomplish with all of that. Nothing. Forget healing. Forget prosperity. I'm not saying forget them. What I mean is that what is going to bring the healing is the life of God. From the persons of the Godhead. From the Holy Ghost. You say Holy Ghost is going to give life to my mortal body. It's going to be medicine to my flesh. So I'm not going to concentrate on healing. I'm going to concentrate on Him. I'm not going to concentrate on prosperity. I'm going to concentrate on Him. Watch this. I'm not going to concentrate on angels. I'm going to concentrate on Him. The Holy Spirit said, He said, I've got billions of angels under my command. You tell me what you want, they'll get it done. Billions. Notice I didn't say millions. I think I'm even wrong. I think it's trillions. Go and check the book of Revelation. It says thousands of thousands and thousands. You know, in those days, they didn't have the mathematics we know today. So John could only try to write it the way he could understand it. He said, and I saw thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. The Lord told me this many years ago. I've preached it here in church before. You know, when Lucifer rebelled, he took one third of the angels of heaven with him in his rebellion. Okay? That went with him. And that's what we call evil spirits today, principalities and powers. You know, they're all fallen angels. You know, so God was left with two thirds. But there's a big difference between God and Lucifer. God is a creator. Lucifer is not. So he's stuck with the one third he still has. Since then, God has been manufacturing angels. We have an assembly line that's proved every time a human being is born, an extra 72,000 is manufactured just for him. It's a legion. That's why Jesus said, can I not now call 12 legions of angels? Each legion was 6,000. So 6,000 times 12 is 72,000. And you and I are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So your minimum level is 72,000. You have much more than that. And they're in cadres. There's the one that is the ogre of all of them. He's always there. Then he will send his angels out. What's he believing for? He's believing for 1 million. That's his difficult. Get 1 million guys to speak to him. No problem for God. The problem is we don't believe. I told you this is one of the most important faith messages you're ever going to hear. Believing, you have to see the invisible. See the Father. See the Lord Jesus. Always. See the Holy Spirit. And the angels, of course, don't start going to look for angels. But, you know, see the Holy Spirit and know that He will send the angels out, you know, to give charge over you and all of that. See the blood of Jesus. Be able to cleanse your heart, see the life of God flowing into you, convert it to power. That's all you need. What can you face that cannot take care of? I like the way God said it to Sarah when he came to their tent. The three persons of the Godhead. It's nice for God to visit you sometimes, you know. You know, the Bible says, in the heat of the day in Mamre, as Abraham sat in his tent, behold, three men. And they were coming. As they approached, Abraham realized it's the Lord. These are not ordinary visitors. So the Lord came in. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit sat down.
what am I going to offer them? You know, what you want to give the man that's going to impress him? So he quickly asked Sarah, quickly, God, what does that make a kid, you know, and, you know, kill a small goat and bake some meat and savory food and all of that. God was patient, was sitting down quietly. You know, God is a very nice person, though. Us relaxing in their tent. I'm sure God has nicer places than that tent, but he managed it, praise the Lord. Like, he managed your house too when he comes. And he won't make you feel bad. He didn't talk about the furniture, he just left that at my house. You know, God is very particular. When you get to know him, you begin to understand. You know, the gates in heaven, they are made of pearl. He could have just used an ordinary gate. He could have just used iron or brass. Each gate is one single pearl. The man likes his aesthetics. He likes nice things. Don't let me get off on that. So he says, Abraham, incidentally, I told you you're going to have a son. And I've come now. The time of life, you're going to have a son. Sarah heard what the Lord said. She was at the back. She was getting the food and everything ready. She laughed. Ati joy. Iwo ilaro. I think badra what is the only money child. That's what she was saying in her heart. You know, God knows everything. You know? So when she came, brought the food, God said, you know, I told you, you're gonna have a son. You know, see, you know, Yoruba and the Hebrews were just the same hypocrisy. The Lord saw completely through the hypocrisy. He said, you laughed. You know, that means, I will never laugh. You know, I'm a child of God. I can never laugh at what God says. And God said, you laughed. He didn't get angry. He understood, you know, understand our infirmities and everything. Then he asked her a question, and I'm asking you the same question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anytime you are tempted not to believe, see him that is invisible, and then ask yourself, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Selah. So you have to continue to believe. Now, so I've explained this. So as you pray, you know, you need to see the invisible. That is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Set the Lord before you at your right hand. See the blood of Jesus. See the life of God, the power of God, the angels, you know. And that's enough to take care of anything. There is nothing that set of people, the three persons of the Godhead, you know, where the angels are under their command and the power of God, there is nothing that they cannot do. But you have to see it and accept it as an act of your will. Then you are believing. Now, let's quickly go to Mark 11:23. We're going to close soon. Mark 11:23. Hello, somebody. Mark 11:23, 24, 25, 26. I'm going to just rush through them. I had to lay that foundation so that people could understand. You know, Mark 11:23. This is a great statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. After he had cursed the fig tree was withered within 24 hours. Those boys were shocked. They were shocked. You know, it's just like, you know, these trees around, you know, any of these trees are around this church now. For me to speak to it and say, no man eat food from the end. And by the time you come tomorrow, the tree is completely shriveled. What? Peter said, ha! Lord! Behold! The tree that you cursed is withered. Jesus just looked at him. Said, this will be translation and paraphrase. What I've done, you can do. Say, have the faith of God. He didn't say, the Greek is not have faith in God. He said, have the faith of God. In other words, have faith like God has faith. For whosoever. He didn't say apostles. He didn't say prophets. He didn't say Pastor Olubi. He didn't say, if you're a whosoever, give me a wave offering. There are some people who are not whosoever's here. I can't see your hand up. I want everybody's hand waving. If you're a whosoever, you are a whosoever. He's a blank check. Any human being can operate this. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, watch the condition. And shall not doubt in his heart. That's where we fail. But shall believe that the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. You are writing your own checks daily. Sir, I don't like what I have. Change what you've been saying. And change what you have been believing. You know what you have today? It's a sum total of everything you have said up till now. This is my back, oh. This is my back. This is my malaria. Mm-hmm. You will have it. This is my leg. Yeah. You will have it. Change it! Let the weak say, I am strong. Of course, God knows you are feeling weak. But if you keep saying you are weak, you will get weaker. So he says, I know you are weak, but start saying you are strong. And when you say you are strong, then I will change the weakness to strength. The book of Hebrews says, out of weakness we are made strong. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Hallelujah! Next verse, verse 24. I got to tie the whole thing together by the help of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when you see a therefore, you want to find out what it is there for. He said, because of what I have just said in verse 23, you have to move the principle of verse 23 into the operation of verse 24. Therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray, you know, most Christians think that scripture reads this way. What things soever you desire when you cry. When you pray, cry. When you pray, shout. When you pray, you know, make a lot of noise. When you pray, do a lot of gymnastics. You can do all of that and not believe. When you pray, believe. I've told you what believing is. Seeing and accepting. Seeing in your mind with spiritual light. And accepting with your will what God has said. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Now, watch this. I'm a great faith guy. I've learned under the best faith teachers to the glory of God. Kenneth Hagin and everybody. You know, and listen to this. There is a time lag between when you believe and when you receive. When you have, sorry. Believe, you receive. So, you've received, but you've received in the Spirit. And then you shall have them in the physical. Now, there is a time lag between when you believe you receive, when you receive it in the Spirit, and when you now have it in the physical. It is in that time interval Christians fail. Many people who maybe believe at the time they pray, 1 hour after prayer, they are no longer believing. So the faith connection is broken. So they will never have. I want to teach you now, by the help of the Holy Spirit, how to keep believing. That's why the title of this message is Believing and Praying with Your Thoughts.
I want to continue to believe. I have to continue to believe until I have. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Anybody want to go home right now? Good. I think it's important enough for us to take time so that I can break it down. I, yet not I, but this grace of God which is with me. So that you can get it. Because once you understand, it's exact knowledge. Once you understand it, you start operating it, it's going to work. God is not a deceiver. My people perish. Pastor Joe mentioned it this morning. For a lack of knowledge. Perish! Not the devil's people, my people. Perish for a lack of knowledge. So, but he didn't stop there. I'm going to, because I want to tie everything together. We're going to close very soon. Verse 25. He didn't stop here. And he quickly appends this because he realizes the vital importance of how this can affect the faith operation. So he says, and. And is a conjunction. I ain't take English. She right. She conjunction. Conjunction. I'm going to man conjunct. Don't man be wakpo. Don't join wakpo. I'm conjunct. Physics ni moshe English. But mo go ibo dia. Praise the Lord. And means you can't do without it. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. For if you don't forgive, next verse, verse 26. I'm going to close with this. You know, not close the message, but close this point. He said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if your trespasses are not forgiven, and there is a block, there is no flow of life, the thing you will never have. Because the power that is going to create the thing, that's going to bring it from the spirit realm into the physical realm, you've blocked the supply line. Forgiveness is enlightened self-interest. I'm going to close very soon. Because the Lord said, you have to put the whole thing together. Now, what do I do between when I pray and believe that I receive and when I have? We've heard a lot about confession of faith, hold fast to your confession. That's very important. And please do that. But I want to add a dimension that is not as emphasized as it should, which is praying with your thoughts. You see, between the time you believe you receive when you pray and when you have, you have to continue to believe. You have to continue to say. You have to continue to pray. When I talk about praying, I'm talking about praying in tongues and groanings and all of that. You have to continue to pray in tongues. You've got to pray in groanings. Continue to speak God's word. And you have to continue to believe. How? By praying with your thoughts. Now, this is the aspect where people fail. They stop believing. They may even confess. They may even pray. But they stop believing. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. The Apostle Paul makes this statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Am I helping anybody here? All right. We're going to be done in a few minutes. It says, while. See, while indicates time. This, you see, between when I believe I receive and when I have, this is what I have to be doing. While. Am I talking to you?
See, I must continue. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, the sickness, the bank account that is empty, the tribulation, the problem, the wife, the husband, the one without husband, the one without wife, the one with the job, whatever. You see, while we do not look at the things which are seen, I'm not going to let what I am seeing dominate what I am thinking. I must not let what I am seeing, for the things which are seen are temporal, or they are subject to change. Let me paraphrase that. The things which are seen, the physical manifestation, they are already being changed. That's why I use the word temporal. They are subject to change. Not only are they subject to change, they are actually being changed already. From the time I prayed, something started working. But it hasn't finished its work. So, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What are the things which are not seen? I have set the Lord always before me. So, I'm going to keep looking at the Father, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the blood that is cleansing me because I've forgiven. You see why the forgiveness is so important? I'm keeping the supply line open. Hello? The life of God, the power of God, the angels. These are things which cannot be seen. I'm going to keep looking at those ones because those are the things that are working on the things that can be seen and that are changing them. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Father will always be there. The Lord Jesus will always be there. The Holy Ghost will always be there. The blood of Jesus will always be there. The life and the power of God will always be there. The angels will always be there. So guess what? I'm more than a conqueror. That thing is bread for me. It has no choice. It's going to change. By the time I said Father, Son, Holy Spirit, angels, life, power on top of the thing, it's going to change. Faithfulness. So long as I keep the word of God in my mouth and I keep it in my heart, that thing will change. It may take 24 hours, like with Jesus. It may take 3 days, like with Esther. It may take 3 weeks, like with Daniel. It may take 25 years. Especially when it comes to manifestation of sons of God and inheriting the glory and all of that. You know, where you're going to, because it takes years and time to grow. You know, but it will change. And you will have. Now, let me just set your mind. The things you need in your life, things like job, husband, they're not going to take 25 years. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, this is about 25 years, yeah. The Lord could say, you help them. That's off my way. He's getting Isaac that takes 25 years. And Isaac today is the son of God inside you. So that you become like the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Yes, it will take maybe 19, 20 something years. But these other small things, don't worry. You know, they're in the realm of 1 day, 3 days, 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. 1 year. No, don't worry. You know, but it will change. That's the important thing. It will change. And what will keep you standing is seeing the invisible and the power of the impossible. And then you will then receive and have the incredible. Are you listening to me? Now, praying with your thoughts. This is so important. The Lord gave me, it's something I preached over the years, but let me say it's fresh. I will not say it's new. It's fresh and it's clearer. How do you make sure that you keep seeing the invisible and you stay believing? when thoughts come, negative thoughts.
You can see. Can you change you? Go change you. Go change. My God, pass will be long. Go change you. Anyway, don't go. God, he gave my down on you. Oh my bio. Can you change you? I know how the devil talks.
What do you do? How do you handle that? You use your thoughts. But how? Mercy. So simple. The mercy of God. Whenever a thought comes to you, maybe you're worrying about a particular situation, you say, Lord, have mercy. I want you to have mercy on that situation. The mercy of God ministers two things.
Well, three really, but the second two are joined together, you know,
so maybe three things simultaneously at the same time. The power of the blood of Jesus that you have already released when you say, Father, I confess my sins to cleanse my blood, is still in the air. So when you say, mercy, Lord, have mercy on me, you know, it directs that cleansing power into your heart to keep cleaning it. That's what the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, it's present continuous, from all sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. Now this is a very important truth. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12.
Going to close in a minute. Hebrews 8. Am I helping anybody here?
I will be what? Merciful unto what? They are unrighteous. What does the blood of Jesus Christ do? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the mercy actually brings the blood. The cleansing power of the blood. So every time a thought comes to you, I don't just say, Lord, have mercy.
Glory be to God.
But it doesn't stop there. The mercy of God also makes the life of God available. You see, what you need to understand is this. You release power with your mouth, the power of the blood of Jesus. You release it with your mouth by confessing your sins. You release power by speaking God's word. You release power by praying in tongues and groaning, but you direct it with thoughts. So it's the thoughts that are directing the power to work on the things that need to be worked on, that need to be changed. It's like a car. A car has an engine. You start the ignition, the car is moving. But where you get to depends on the steering wheel. It's a great truth. Where you're going to, if I want to go from here to Lagos with a car full of petrol, the engine is working perfectly, and I keep taking the wrong turn, I will never get to Lagos. If you keep thinking the wrong things, you will never get to where you want. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why your thought life is very important. And God has made it easy. Just ask for mercy. Mercy. Look at Jude chapter 1 verse 21. It's actually 20 and 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking. How do you look? You're looking at the invisible. For the mercy of God unto what? Eternal life. So not only will it direct the blood, it will direct the life. It will direct the power. So when your body is feeling sick, just say, Lord, have mercy. It's getting better. Thank you, Lord. I know you're working on it. And anytime you say mercy, ask for mercy, you know what automatically comes? Thanksgiving. It will keep you believing. So whenever you have a temptation to doubt, just say, Lord, have mercy. And then you remember, the Lord is at my right, you know. He's always before me. He's at my right. Holy Spirit, thank you. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. Work on this thing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're working on it. Thank you. You're working on it. Then, once every 6 hours, and at every opportunity, you speak the word God or word of God again. So, the power in the air keeps increasing. And your thoughts keep directing it. The power keeps increasing through the confession of the word that you keep making, and the praying in the spirit and praying in tongues, maybe once in a week or once in a month or whatever it is time you're praying about something, you're releasing power. The power is in the air. You're boosting it with the word of God that's coming out of your mouth, and then you keep directing it with your thoughts. If you keep doing that, you keep believing, because you keep seeing the invisible, you keep receiving that power, that the omnipotent power that can change, that can make the impossible real, to receive the impossible. And then with time,
you will inherit the incredible. It can be done and it will be done. You have no reason to allow the devil to push you around because you have clear knowledge now. Always see the invisible, the persons of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit at your right hand, the angels that are under them, the blood of Jesus that is available, the life of God that is available, the power, and keep directing with your thoughts. If you keep doing that, you, whatever it is you believe in God will come to pass. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. You shall have them. You shall have them. Believe it. I'm praying with your thoughts. That's why God, you see this mercy thing, I didn't know it was so powerful. No wonder Paul said, by the mercies of God, present your. So when your body wants to behave, just say, Lord, have mercy on my body. Hello? Hello? When your mind wants to, Lord, have mercy. You can have mercy for my finances, mercy for my health, mercy for my wife, mercy for my, it works for everything. One shot. Hallelujah. It works for everything. It brings blood. It brings the life. It brings the power that has already been released. It directs it and makes sure it works on the subject to make it come into conformity with the word of God. So that's how you're praying with your thoughts all the time. And you know, the good thing about praying with your thoughts is that it doesn't matter how many thoughts the devil brings. You can always reply. You can always reply with mercy. No wonder he said, it is not of him that runneth. You can now understand it. Nor of him that willeth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Talk to God. Lord, have mercy. No wonder. Now I understand. No wonder. Say, but of God. That's why he is a merciful and faithful high priest. God knew the vital importance of mercy. You can't get it without honesty. That's where the honesty comes in. That's why you need to keep working on your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Talk to God. For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
His mercies.
Sing it, sing it.
Ceases. Glory to God. Sing it with meaning now. With this revelation.
Lord never ceases.
His mercies. Glory.
Oh, Lord.
sign on your forehead. Your thinking is the crucial place now. You have to keep seeing the invisible in your mind and accepting it in your will by the mercy of God. God has made it so simple. Mercy of God, it does so many things simultaneously. It directs the blood, mercy unto all the unrighteousness. It directs the life, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life, which is converted to power. And whatever you need, the power of God, there is nothing you are facing on this earth that the power of God cannot conquer. Nothing. Now understand the scripture. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But to whom God shows mercy. It's the mercy of God. And the God has so tied it. God in his wisdom. God is the one who designed this system. Only God could have designed it. He so designed it that it's tied to honesty of heart. So you have to maintain that heart. That right heart and forgiveness. Once you break that, the thing's not working again. So when somebody sins against you, instead of getting angry, you say, Lord, have mercy on them. When you say, Lord, have mercy, with your thoughts, the blood of Jesus is directed to them to cleanse their sin and give life to them. Then you just replenish it after every 6 hours whenever you do your prayers and your confessions. But so long as you're doing your confessions constantly, you always have a supply in the air that your thoughts can direct. Glory be to God. Raise that hand. Woo! Glory be to God. Talk about a winning formula. Talk about a winning formula. I didn't know that's what you hid behind mercy. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies. Plural. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Raise that hand. Touch that forehead. We're going to deal with your mind this afternoon. All that nonsense will stop. Ah, now you will pull down strongholds. And you will cast down imagination. And you will bring into captivity every, not a few, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, your day of victory has come. Your day of deliverance has come. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've brought to me this afternoon, believing and praying with my thoughts. Father, I now have a better understanding of how to believe, to see the invisible by the light of your word in my mind, to accept it with my will. And then to keep believing by constantly asking for your mercy with my thoughts. Whenever I'm faced with any difficulties or situations, knowing that the power of your blood that has been released previously by confession of sin and by the speaking of God's word and by praying in the spirit and groaning will be directed by my thoughts, by your mercy, to work on the situation. So that the things which are temporal will change and become conformed to your word. And I will have what I have said in Jesus' name. Touch that forehead. Touch that forehead. It's a point of contact. It's very important. The mind is where the problem has been. That's the battleground. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Lombre que gramatolo,
In Jesus' name, mommy. Just before I give this benediction, I want to say this. You see, it's a complete system that works together. You can't cherry pick. I want this, I don't want that. There's a place for praying in tongues. There's a place for groaning. There's a place for confession of the word. And there's a place for believing with your thoughts. The power you release when you pray in tongues and groaning is in the air. The angels are already walking. Your thoughts are just directing them. When you say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood, the cleansing power is already in the air. Your thoughts, mercy on this person, your thoughts just direct that cleansing power and cleanse. So your prayers, your confessions, confession of sin, the cleansing with the blood, your confession of the word of God, your praying in spirit, your groanings are all very important, and they act as the background that supply the power in the air for your thoughts to be able to direct. Then it becomes a simple system. You pray, you direct. Pray, you direct. You pray, you direct. And then it will bring you hope. Praise the Lord. And you shall have them. The Lord bless you and keep you. I didn't hear you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Something about say, I will keep believing. I will no longer doubt in my heart by the mercy of God. In Jesus' name. Anytime a doubt comes, doesn't use mercy to flash out. Glory be to God.